Now, both Matthew and Mark narrate the calling of the fishermen by the Sea of Galilee, but neither explain why these laborers left their boats and nets to follow Jesus. He just speaks a word to them and they follow. But Luke gives us an explanation in one of his most charming stories. So I invite you this morning to imagine that you were there. So Jesus takes a morning walk along the lake shore, and his winsome words attract a very large crowd. Here there is no rejection, as was the case in his first sermon in Nazareth. Here people hang on to his every word and press in upon him. So many people that Jesus asks the owner of a small boat for assistance. Could he use his boat as a floating pulpit? And thus Peter, that strong-willed fisherman, gets caught up in the story of Jesus. And from his perch in this borrowed boat, Jesus speaks to those on shore and those wading out into the water. And Peter no doubt heard every single word. And when the sermon is finished, you would expect Jesus to be ferried back to the shore. But that is not what happens. Jesus then turns to Peter and asks him to do one more favor. Put out into the deep water and let your nets down for a catch. Now, Peter and his partners, James and John, had been up all night and caught nothing. They were, in fact, in the process of washing their nets and hanging them up to dry. It had been a long, frustrating night, and probably they were exhausted. Yet Peter senses something magisterial about Jesus, someone worth listening to. And already Peter had seen the power of Jesus' words on the crowd. And now he feels the power himself. And so he says to this maritime preacher, "If you say so, I will put down my nets." And at this point, the preacher who offered moving words becomes the miracle worker who commands the waters. The fish come out of nowhere, and they are now everywhere. The text describes a great shoal of fish, so large that they are about to break the nets. Peter calls for backup from his partners, James and John, and they launch their boat in to haul this immense catch of fish. Imagine the splashing, the shouts of astonishment and laughter and celebration, a fisherman's dream come true. There are so many fish that the two boats almost sink. Their success is almost too good to be true, and probably not even safe. And at this point, many people would see only one thing, dollar signs. Fish were their livelihood, and doubtless they had never seen such a windfall. Perhaps you can imagine them saying to Jesus, "Jesus, would you mind going fishing with us every day?" But here, the nobility of Peter is revealed. With fish flopping and the boats almost sinking, Peter falls at the knees of Jesus and cries out, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." Peter realizes this is not just good fortune. This is a manifestation of God's presence in his life. Peter knows he is in the presence of the holy. And much like Isaiah, who sees the Lord high and lifted up in the temple and cries out, "Woe is me, for I am lost. I am a man of unclean lips." In the presence of the holy, we are all undone. And it is here that Jesus lifts up Peter with these stunning words, "Don't be afraid. Henceforth, you will be catching people." Now, it should be noted that the phrase Jesus uses should be translated literally, "You will take alive many humans." The phrase "take alive" in Greek is the word we use in English for zoology. So Luke avoids the unpalatable notion of catching and gutting humans. That is not what Jesus meant. bringing in people alive would be a better translation. Catching folks up in the net of God's love would be fine. Peter, James, and John will now bring in others into the service of the kingdom of God, a different kind of profession. What is so delightful about Luke's story is this. Peter, James, and John are invited to leave the shallows and go into the deep waters, there where that great shoal of fish will be found. Even in the daytime, when fishing was not so good as in the night on the Sea of Galilee, there in the deep waters, there is life, unexpected life, abundant life, flopping and splashing and almost inundating their boats. Now, sisters and brothers, if there is one thing the Christian life teaches us, it is this: no risk, no reward. The play it safe, hug the shoreline kind of faith seldom gives us surprises. The predictable life brings predictable results. I wonder how many of us really just hug the shoreline. Do we ascribe to this motto, "Hey, let's wait in the shallow end"? And maybe that's why, for so many of us, our Christian life is just so boring. We expect little, we risk little, and we gain little. We get exactly what we put into it, the shallows. Now, in the fall of 2009, the Synod of the Southwest sponsored a mission trip to meet the Chinese Christian community. We encountered the church in China, an amazing body of Christians who have literally come back from the dead, or a death that the government planned for all religious groups during Mao's dreaded Cultural Revolution from 1966 to 1976. Thousands of Christians were jailed, and many others were sent to collective farms throughout the country. Churches were shuttered, and the leaders were dispersed. Now, after Mao died, the Chinese Communist Party allowed some Christian groups to be reconstituted, but under strict controls. It is not so much religious freedom, but a form of regulated religion. Yet something quite amazing happened. Out from the underground, Chinese Christians began reopening the shuttered churches. And then the adage came true: if you build it, they will come. And they came in the thousands. We went to many services and were thrilled to see literally packed church buildings, vibrant, alive, filled with the Spirit of God. And I saw something I have never seen before or since: a bicycle traffic jam before and after the services. Now, between these multiple services held to accommodate the large crowds, guess who was directing the bicycle traffic? The pastors. It had never occurred to me that that might be my role someday. No. It was breathless. Now, we had lunch with a pastor who had spent 13 years in prison during the Cultural Revolution. And after suffering so much for his faith, he beamed with joy as he gave thanks for the new life in the Christian church in China, even with the restrictions. That man had gone into the deep waters, but then he witnessed a great shoal of fish being gathered into the net of God's love. Teeming life, abundant life, new life in Christ all over China. I heard that Christian pastor witness to this amazing truth: God provides even in an oppressive environment with state-sponsored threats all around. Listening to that pastor, I had to ask myself, could I be that brave? Would I put my life on the line when Mao's Red Guards threatened prison and even death? Talking with that remarkable servant of God then in his 80s, I promised myself, by God's grace, that I would never be afraid were governmental pressure ever leveled against me. I vowed not to hug the shoreline or just wade in the shallow end. By the grace of God, I vowed to venture out into the deep waters to see the marvels and wonders of God's love, power of God at work among us. Now, it's fair to ask, have I kept that vow? Sometimes yes, sometimes no. And that's the way it goes in the Christian journey, isn't it? Sometimes we bow before Jesus knowing we are in the presence of the Holy. And sometimes we ignore him and his demands upon our lives. So I have a prayer for us this day, and it goes like this. Oh God, keep me from fear that makes me hug the shoreline. Give me a strong heart to venture with you into those deep waters, and may your grace lead me always with your strong hand. Thanks be to God. Amen.